The Fawn Family Podcast, Episode 6. Welcome to the Fawn Family Podcast, the podcast designed to help your family draw closer to Christ, connect with one another, and influence your community to the glory of God. It is December, and we have survived Thanksgiving. We are ready for, what is it, Valentine's Day or Arbor Day or something? Something's coming up. Christmas. Christmas is this month. If you have children, well, we can empathize. Leah, the kids are very, very excited.
They are. Every day they're starting to count down, I think, already.
Yeah, they know what's coming. And we like Christmas. We're looking forward to it. As we mentioned last month, we love Thanksgiving. It's just a good time of year, these holidays. They do kind of run together a little bit. They keep us busy and give us a lot of ways to make traditions. But we didn't want to this month, Leah. We didn't want to do Thanksgiving last month and then be really predictable and do Christmas this month. And so we may come back and do Christmas at some point in the future. But we're going to do something a little bit different this month. And we want you to stay with us through the whole podcast. We have a pretty big announcement to give at the very end, and we look forward to giving that to you. But we want to talk this month, since it's December, and after December comes January, and everybody near the beginning of the year starts doing, or near the end of the year, I should say, starts doing their resolutions. But most of the time, we do resolutions for ourselves, but rarely, it seems to me, do we do resolutions for families. And so that's what we want to talk about this month, or building some resolutions for families. Now, some of you have probably heard this before, that resolutions or goals have to be SMART, and SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And there's a link to that little acronym in the show notes where you can remember that. Leah, I don't mean this to be cruel, either one of us, but the goals we're going to give, the resolutions we're going to give, are not SMART. We haven't taken the time yet to kind of round them into that, you know, specific, measurable, attainable. What we want to do is give a few that we have for our family, but we're going to word the actual sort of resolution in sort of a general way so your family can take it and run with it. But then our goal was to sort of explain each one for our family. Does that make any sense the way I put that?
Yes.
And so we're going to kind of word them generally, but then explain this is why we chose this. And then hopefully over the next few weeks, as January comes down, you know, bears down upon us, we can maybe round them into more goal form for our family. Hopefully you can for your family. And whether you use these or not, we hope these are helpful for you. Each one of us came up with three, and some of these overlap just a little bit, but that's okay. We actually made the list independently, so it's okay. There's a little bit of not necessarily overlap, but some they're somewhat similar. And we're going to go ladies first. So the first one that you put on here was to resolve to simplify and organize life. Now, that is a big goal. That's a big resolution. We could probably spend several podcasts on that one topic, but just what were some things you had in mind when you said that's something you want to sort of bring as a goal, not just for you, but for our family in the coming year?
One of the first thing I had in mind was activities that you're involved in. Sometimes, personally, I feel like I may have this activity going on and this one for the kids, or it may not even be activities that are even outside the house, but just different things that kind of distract our minds. And
there's just too many things going on all the time.
I want to wrap my mind around the idea of organizing and simplifying everything. I mean, even something as simple as not running to the store two or three times a week to get groceries or things you need for a certain meal. Just to do better about planning the whole week out and running errands one day so that your time around your home is not as disjointed and chaotic.
I'm glad you mentioned, not necessarily the grocery thing specifically, but just that this is a family goal. This is one of those things that a lot of people, and I've done this before, you know, word a resolution for a year, somewhat like this, for themselves, but not usually for a group, a family or a company or whatever. But this is something that a whole family, especially the husband and wife, or the whole family can work together. You know, just take the example of the grocery store. Why doesn't the whole family come up with what are we eating this next week instead of it always falls on mom for the whole week and every ingredient? And you know, and so all of that works together. All right, that was your first one. Here's my first one. Resolve to be more regular in holding family devotionals. And we do family devotionals most of the time, but other families are like us. We're pretty good about it, but we are hit or miss. You know, we try to do two or three a week, but some weeks it's one, some weeks it's four, some weeks it is that two or three. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I would like to see us be more regular in timing, but also, as you and I've talked about before, is more regular in deciding what we're going to do. And so that's why I kind of chose that generic word of being regular. It's timing, but it's also the emphasis of what we're trying to do in those.
Just even, that word keeps coming back to my mind, organization.
There it is again. I said some of these were somewhat similar, overlap a little bit.
Having a plan and, you know, mapping things out so that your mind can be focused on that instead of continually wondering about what you have to do the next thing, just having better plans.
And that comes back to that organizational idea. But it also comes back to the simplifying idea. If we're trying to do 25,000 things, I mean, it's sad to say, but usually the easiest thing to kind of put on the chopping block for that night is the devotional time, right, or the family worship time, or however your family decides to call it, whatever your family decides to call that. And so that's one that each family, if they want to do family devotionals, could probably come up with some more specific ways of wording that. You know, have two a week, or study a book of the Bible for the year. You know, however they want to word that, but some emphasis on the family devotional or family worship.
Or even what you want to learn that week, right, or this month. We want to, by the end of this month, to have these facts memorized, or to be able to recite this particular memory verse by heart, things like that even.
And that's a good point too. We're mentioning these as if they're always for the full year. You can make these monthly. You know, right, we're doing it because this is just a natural time of year for people to be thinking about this. But maybe your family decides in January we're going to, for maybe yours is, we're going to start. Yeah, that's not a bad goal. That's one we thought of. The third one, and this is one of yours, is to resolve to help children deepen their personal prayer life. Now, we have smaller children. Most of our listeners know us. Our children at the time of recording this are 8 years old and 6 years old. But we pray with them in the evenings. They pray, you know, Turner leads prayers at some of our meals and things. But even at that younger age, we want to make sure that they are really understanding prayer. And I liked how we worded this, to deepen their personal prayer life. Why did you decide this was not something that we should say, okay, Mary Carol, this is your goal for 2014, but this is a family goal?
Well, personally, I need to deepen my prayer life, but even specifically, I want to maybe use that as an example to them and me do better about guiding them about certain things you can pray for and maybe ought to pray for, being, I'm going to use this word on everyone, organized with your prayer.
I'm sensing a trend in this month's podcast.
Have a prayer list, their own personal prayer list, and to be able to start teaching them more about the purpose of prayer, in at least in the petition and supplication side of things. And then also, of course, teaching them how prayer is a good way we can praise God and the words to use, and just help them with that a little bit.
You know, you mentioned the prayer journal, and I'll take a little detour here. I was thinking as you were talking, we've talked about this a long time ago. It's probably seriously been, you may remember this conversation 2 or 3 years ago, about figuring out some ways, maybe even visually, to help children with prayer. We've seen families that have done things like have little bulletin boards, or what are those things called, like fabric boards or something, where they just put pictures of family members, or, you know, if they're old enough, maybe a map of a country where something bad is going on or something good is going on. And so they can look up at that, because there's nothing wrong with having your eyes open when you pray. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. And letting them just see those things, but also having on something like a bulletin board or something where it can change in and out, and keep, you know, help them have that visual reminder. But you mentioned something like a prayer journal, especially if a child's old enough where they're really writing well, that would be something good, or even something the parent could do with them, or parents could do with them. So helping them not just make a prayer list, which is what I'm talking about, but I like how you talked about it, you know, understanding there's more to prayer than just God give me stuff or God be with everybody I know. So that's one that, you know, again, you can word these in different ways, and hopefully it will help you. Number four. This is sort of the one, I guess, of all of ours that aren't really, that is not really specifically spiritual, but in some ways it is to resolve to set a significant financial goal as a family. Now, one of the things I thought of is maybe your family is in credit card debt. Maybe as a family you set a goal to get out of debt or to pay off a certain amount of debt. But I this was on my list, and the reason, Leah, I wanted to talk about this one was because sometimes mom and dad decide we're going to get out of debt, or we're going to pay off the car, or we're going to save up a lot of money and give it to someone, or save up for a big purchase, and they never involve the children in any way, shape, or form until it's just done. But this is a great opportunity for your family to use the old phrase, to pull together, you know, to work on something, but also just so the kids understand this is hard to come up with these larger goals. And maybe yours is paying off debt. Maybe, as we said, it's buying something significant. Maybe it's saving up to give a significant gift. But I think that would be a great goal for a family to have, to come up with a quite significant financial goal to work towards as a family instead of just as a person or as a couple.
Right, and I think, you know, it would depend on how old your children are, if you have children, how old they are, to, you know, you may start out with some kind of small goal that they can understand and meet quickly, and then keep going and progressing as the year goes on, and maybe, especially if it's maybe toward saving up for something or paying off some kind of debt even. I mean, I have in mind, you know, like if you wanted to have the family save up to make a donation to a certain missionary or something like that, you know, maybe make it small first. Like, we're going to save up so that we can buy or send a care package this month or something like that, just to teach them that, you know, you do have to plan ahead with things like that. And it's good to have those things on your mind.
And most children, you know, the age of our children or younger especially, they're givers naturally. There's something about that that's within them. But to let them see that amount of the gift, as you mentioned, from missionary or something, build up, really is going to cause them to think, wow, you know, what could we do? They don't know how much money daddy makes or mommy makes or they together make or anything else. But it's really going to build that within them, I think, to see that even my dollar, my $3 or whatever, is really helping out here. But boy, if we did this for 6 months, we could really help somebody, you know, in a very significant way, or we could really help our own family do something really, really neat or really, really special and sort of mark something in our family history. So that was one I thought of. And again, that one's one that obviously your family can customize in almost countless ways, but it might be a good way to spend, as you mentioned, maybe part of the year, but maybe the whole year. Maybe you've done something as a family before, but you decide this entire year we're saving up to do this one thing, or we're paying off this debt or whatever. Number five, and this is similar to the one that we mentioned a moment ago about the personal prayer life, but it's not exactly the same. And this is something that it's on your list, but it's also something you've talked about in our home for a long time, and that is to resolve to give children ways to understand and participate in worship. Now, obviously, with smaller children, this is probably going to be more significant. If your children are 15 or 16, hopefully they already know how to do this, but who knows? Sometimes we have kids that are, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and they know we go to church, and they know mommy and daddy sing, but they just kind of feel like they're there. And so you put this on here, I think, Leah, because we're trying to figure out some ways to make sure not only that they understand what's going on, but that they need to have a part in it.
And I want to focus even on each aspect of worship. So that, I mean, we've always personally, I think, we've done a good enough job about having them take some of their money to give. We try to encourage them to sing, but I want to kind of step that up and let them know that, you know, how happy God is to hear our voices.
And our hearts.
And right, to be able to, they can remember songs sometimes, and I want them to know that, you know, I want them to remember these songs too. And so I don't want them to not be singing just out of, well, it's a habit, you know, a habit not to sing. I want them to always be thinking about their praises to God. And then even during the sermon, during the teaching, I want to look for ways that they can listen to the sermon better. And I know with small children, young children, that it's all relative how much, if any, that they can actually listen to the sermon. But I want to get past them just, okay, you know, keep quiet during church. I want them to be more, to participate more. And, you know, really, back at our gospel meeting with Dan Jenkins, he mentioned about the sacredness of worship. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I was convicted that night because I kept thinking, I want my kids, even at a young age, to know that when you sit down and you are in the presence of God during that worship service, that that is a time that's not like any other, really.
And it's not just a tradition your family does.
And, you know, you are, it's just such an honor to be there to worship Him. And so I want them to start having more of a feel for that and know that this is not just being quiet while mommy and dad are in an important meeting or something like that. This is something that goes way beyond that. And I want to start training them more in that way.
Yeah, you mentioned letting them listen during the sermon or figuring out ways they can pay attention. I mean, I know our preacher's boring since it's me. But, you know, we've seen our children sometimes even without, I'm guessing without a lot of prompting, we use PowerPoint at Lebanon Road, and I'm not that great at PowerPoint, making PowerPoints. I'm trying to do better. But we've noticed our children, both of them, from time to time, drawing the picture and writing the word that's on the screen. You know, even those little things, you know, where they're at least getting something, you know. But as you mentioned, trying to really think about what's going on in every aspect of worship. And yeah, that time when Dan Jenkins talked about that was very impressive, that, you know, this really is sacred time and children need to understand that. I loved how you put that, that it's not just mommy and daddy in a meeting. I love that because that's kind of how we treat it sometimes. Be quiet. We need to get this done. And, you know, but it's far more important than that.
Well, and it, you know, obviously something like this is just so, it depends on the age of your child and their temperament even sometimes. And so I know before when they were really little, maybe expecting too much, like I wanted them to participate so much and I wanted them to be quiet and be still better. And you do have to be patient on that level. And even at this level with ours being 8 and 6, I mean, there is some level of just being patient. I mean, they're not adults. But on their own level, I want to see them participating more. I don't want to wait till they're teenagers and say, okay, now you've got to start singing now. Right. Because then right. I feel like maybe it's too late.
it's the balance idea. You know, yes, we understand they're going to fidget and you know, not sometimes they're not going to feel well and those sorts of things. But we also are going to have some level of expectation for them.
Right.
It's not just, as you said, they wake up and they're 14. Okay, now you've got to shape up here.
Start listening.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good one. You may decide in your family to decide that this year or this month we're really going to emphasize helping our children learn to sing, or maybe in your family it's that you're going to try to use some of those home devotionals to emphasize what the Lord's Supper means, or, you know, those things. But just trying to build within them that understanding and participation in worship. Number 6, and the last one that we came up with for our podcast this month, is to resolve to connect with or support a missionary or a local ministry as a family. There are countless ways to do this. But maybe your congregation supports a missionary, and it doesn't have to be somebody on the other side of the world. It could be, obviously, in our technological age, you know, with Skype and different things. Maybe you know a family in Africa or India or Russia or somewhere that once a month your family can meet around the laptop and speak with them and see all kinds of things. Maybe, though, Leah, it's just something in your own community. The old, you know, soup kitchen, homeless shelter, those types of things where your family could go, and I would suggest about once a month to support them in some way. And we'll even tie this back to one of our previous ones. Maybe it's even saving up, as you mentioned, a small donation every month or every quarter to give to one of those things. But in some way, if it's something like a missionary, either them sending care packages or cards or Skyping or something, if it's a local ministry actually going, so there's something either visual or hands-on instead of only we're praying for the missionaries at church, which is wonderful and it's important, but there needs to be some visual or hands-on connection,
I
think.
Put a face with the name so that they see they are really actual people who are living this life. And sometimes, you know, it's easy for adults to do that even.
That's right.
To just put the missionaries out there in some vague world instead of knowing that there are mamas and daddies out there with their little kids even sometimes, and what are the things that they do every day that may be different from what you do, and why we should be praying for them. Maybe their life is harder, most assuredly is harder than what we have here.
And not every missionary is going to be able to have, you know, internet connection and Skype and all those sorts of things, but you might be amazed how many do have that, or at least can at times have that type of thing, where if they are on the other side of the world, or the other side of the country for that matter, you can see them face to face. But if you can't, you know, sending cards, sending care packages, doing something to show you care. But again, if that's not your thing, select something local. Yeah, ask one of the elders at church, is there a ministry in town where we could really get involved as a family, not just as a congregation? Or maybe you just know of one. Maybe you just have a heart for the homeless, or for people who are suffering in certain ways. And it's something where kids can go. You know, one that I've heard of a lot of families doing before is, and this is not necessarily a local ministry per se, but once a month, take your kids to the nursing home for an afternoon of visiting, you know, one Sunday afternoon a month, or, you know, one day a month after school, and just let them visit one hallway, you know, of those residents. And that's a wonderful way for children to get their hands on and to minister to people and learn to be involved in the community, but also see they're doing those things to the glory of God. It's not just we're doing something good. We're doing something good for a purpose.
And, you know, all of this ties back into that first one. I think it was the first one that we mentioned about simplifying and organizing.
I said there was a theme here.
Because, you know, on one level you hear things like this, at least I do this, maybe no one else does, but I'll think, oh, one more thing to do.
You know
you need to do it, but one more thing, and when are you going to find the time? But I want to do better about looking at what the things that I do and simplifying and organizing so that I can do these things that really are more important goals that we want to implement in our lives, instead of just my time being, I'm going to use an Alabama word, fiddled away with.
Do I have to put a link in the show notes to some dictionary to understand what that means?
With, you know, to, and time just goes by and you feel like you're wasting and not maximizing your time that you have, especially as a family, while you have your family with you, even in your own home.
And it's never going to be perfect. You know, as we said, there seems to be a theme here, this organization, simplification. It's never going to be perfect, but it does overarch all these other goals of trying to make sure that things are in the right priority. And so we hope these have been helpful to you. If you can't remember all six of them, I hope you notice this, Leah. There are six goals, and people can go to fawnfamily.com/006, because this is episode six. If you'd like the full list there, there's also a link to what we mentioned about the SMART goals, that little acronym. You can find that there. Again, fawnfamily.com/006 is the link to the show notes. Hey, this is Adam, and you may have noticed that the audio sounds a little different, maybe a little rough in the editing from the main body of the podcast to now. I am recording this part without Leah. I'm recording this part after we've already recorded the main body of the podcast, and this is actually going to be a surprise to her as well. It's a little bit of a early Christmas present, I guess she would say, and something that needed to be done. But Leah and I recorded the entirety of the podcast that you're listening to, the body as well as the conclusion and everything, and then well, you may have noticed that throughout the body of the podcast, the resolutions for 2014, that one of the things we emphasized several times was the need to organize and simplify. And with that in mind, this is going to be the last Fawn Family podcast, at least for a little while. Sometimes some things that are even good ideas have to go by the wayside. We enjoy doing this, but if you're not familiar with podcasting, it is quite a process. Leah and I do not, as you've noticed, just record and hit upload and there it is. We prepare, we record, there's editing involved, there's building of the pictures and show notes, and then there's uploading the audio and editing the audio and putting all those things together. And all told, it's a several-hour process to put this together. And we enjoy it, but, well, let's just say that we need that time back. Things are great, and this is not a negative thing in the least, and we enjoy doing this, but some things just need to be simplified around our house, and a couple of things have to go, and this is going to be one of them. As I mentioned, this is going to be the last for a while. I hope to bring this back. We hope to bring this back. But this is something that, again, this is going to surprise Leah, but, well, if we're going to talk about organizing and simplifying, and if I'm going to be what the Bible says to be as the leader of the house, then I'm making the call, and I think it's something that needs to happen so that we can have that time together as a family, so that we can have the time together as a couple. If you listen to the podcast but have not checked out our blog, we are not going to cut back on the blog. That is fawnfamily.com, and you can go there. You can subscribe by email. We'd love to have you as a regular reader, and we blog about 3 to 4 times a week. But the podcast is going to go by the wayside for a little while, and while we think about some other things, and again, all things are good. This is not a negative. Sometimes you stop some of the people start worrying about your marriage or something. Nothing like that's going on in the least. But I want us to be able as a family to simplify some things. And so we're going to get back a few of the hours mentally and as well as just time-wise by cutting out the podcast for a little while. We hope you understand. And if you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or elsewhere, I would ask you to please keep that subscription open in case we bring the podcast back. As I said, I hope we do. But I hope that you will keep that podcast subscription open so that when we restart, you can just have that back. And we hope that you will join us then. Again, this is the last Fawn Family podcast, at least for a little while. We appreciate you listening. This has been an amazing story. We thought when we started this we would have a couple of dozen listeners, and we have averaged just shy of 300 per episode, which has just blown us away. And for that, we are thankful. We hope that you as listeners do not take this stoppage as some sort of slap in the face or something, or we think that we don't have enough listeners. That's not the case in the least. We are amazed, and we are very grateful. But this is very much just a family decision, something that needs to be done for us. We hope you understand, and we hope that the podcasts are helpful to you. They have been helpful to you, and hopefully they will be in the future as well. Thank you for understanding, and remember, as always, as we end the podcast, that your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.